If you'll turn to the book of Romans with me, chapter 12, we'll continue our study. By way of review, book of Romans is about righteousness. God is righteous, and we are not. Mankind is not. The major sections in the book that we've seen man's sin, is our need for righteousness. We've seen salvation, God's plan for righteousness. We've seen sanctification, God's process for righteousness. We've seen sanctification. I just said that, didn't I? Sovereignty is next. God's sovereignty, God's power for righteousness. We've seen all this doctrinal truth. We've learned about who God is, what He's done. Then what's next? What do we do with all that? We serve. Chapter 12 through virtually the rest of the book, the letter, is about service. In response to all that, we serve. Service is the application of righteousness. The application of righteousness. Chapter 12, verse 1, we see the proper response to who God is and what He's done. Verse 1, chapter 12, is to worship. True biblical worship. Sacrificial worship. Real worship is real sacrifice. Spiritual service of worship. True response to God. Giving up, giving over to God. Our minds, our bodies, our possessions as a living and holy sacrifice to God in response to who God is and what He's done. Doesn't stop there. Worship, verse 1, chapter 12, and verse 2, chapter 12, and there's more. And in response to who God is, what He's done, we ensure that we do not conform to the world. We ensure we don't look like the world, act like the world. In fact, instead, we are to what? To be transformed, metamorphosized. Like that caterpillar, metamorphosized, metamorphosis. I think metamorphosized may be a made-up word. But we metamorphosize into a butterfly. We fly, we soar on wings of eagles. We don't crawl in the dirt anymore. And that's done how? By the renewing of our minds, the washing of our minds, saturating our minds with God's Word, hanging out with God's people, renewing the mind. The foundation of service, as Paul enters this main section in the book of Romans on service. Let's get the foundation right. Are we worshiping right? I hope we are. Sacrificially, wholeheartedly, with our lives. Are we being transformed? I hope we are. And next, Paul is about to begin a section on how to serve. How to serve God properly. In fact, before that, he's going to talk about how God has equipped us to serve with spiritual gifts, talents, skills from God in order to serve Him. But before he does that, in verse 3, he starts a whole new paragraph. He takes one sentence to address our attitude, our thinking. So that we can have the right attitude, the right thinking, the right mindset. We can think properly of ourselves so we can handle these divine gifts that God bestows on us. So we can handle serving Him properly. Proper thinking is what we want to address. Proper thinking is what the Apostle Paul addresses in verse 3. Why don't we stand in honor of God's Word? Read it with me. Follow along as I read chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove that, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for who you are. It's amazing. God Almighty, the one true living God, creator of all, sustainer of life, giver of life, loves us. Father, we thank you for the love that you've given us, the love that you've demonstrated to us. We thank you for who you are and what you've done. And Father, we are your people. This is your time, and I pray that your Spirit will convict us of our sins. Father, your Spirit will draw us to you. Father, that we will be transformed by you, your Word, your Spirit, that we will humble ourselves before you, that we'll yield our lives to you, Father. And even now, as we study your word, we're grateful for it, grateful for the opportunity to meet together. Father, I pray that in spite of the messenger, that your truth will prevail, your truth will be heard and understood, and will be pierced to our hearts. We will change for it. We'll be more like Christ because of it. May this time be pleasing in your sight. For worship is not for us, it's for you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a seat. I'm going to take off my jacket if I can. I'm getting a little hot up here. But I get hot kind of easy moving around sometimes. I was told my tie's a little long today. I thought it was slimming being long, but I don't think that's working. But I'll take my coat off anyway. We'll get comfortable. Let's look at verse 3. Verse 3, for through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you. Who's Paul talking to in verse 3? He's talking to us, isn't he? Church folks. He's writing this letter to the church at Rome. Christians, believers in Jesus Christ, true born-again Christians. Talking to us in church. What does he say? Do not think more highly of yourselves than you ought to think. Why does he say that? We have an issue with that? He's talking to church folks. The church folks have an issue, maybe with a little inflated perspective, maybe, of themselves. Is that ever the case in church? You ever run across people like that who think too highly of themselves? Whoa. Really? It's usually the pastor, isn't it? Lord help me if that happens. It happens. I don't know why, but it happens even in church. People start getting a little puffed up, a little arrogant. Maybe they want to be big fish in small ponds or small fish in big ponds or whatever that works out to be. It happens in church. What's the real issue here? It's pride, isn't it? Ugly old pride. Selfish, egotistical, arrogant, cocky pride. Paul is just about to educate us on the divinely appointed giftedness that God equips us with so that we can serve him properly. And before we can handle that giftedness, he wants us first to have the proper thinking. Prideful hearts, arrogant attitudes will render our service to God ineffective. Hear that. Paul took one verse, one verse for us, to focus on our thinking. Prideful hearts, arrogant attitudes will render our service to God ineffective. Man, we have studied doctrinal truth since chapter 1. We've seen the mighty hand of God, His love, His mercy, His grace, our problems, His solutions, His sovereignty. He's just the one that can make His plan happen. Nobody can thwart it, derail it. And now it's time to apply all that we've learned. It's time to respond properly by serving properly, and to do that, we need to think properly. We cannot serve God effectively with prideful hearts or arrogant attitudes. If we try, not only will it be ineffective, it'll be dishonoring. It won't be worshipful. It'll be disrespectful. It will not glorify God. It will not please Him. God expects humility from us. Yikes. Humility. Yep. He expects us to be humble, to serve humble, to have humble attitudes, humble hearts. So let's take some time this morning and examine humility. True biblical humility. True humility starts with a proper thinking, proper perspective of ourselves and of God. When we get this proper perspective of who God is and who we are in relation to God, then we start to be able to think humbly, to be humble, think properly. Turn with me to the book of Philippians, chapter 2. Just up over to the right a few books, past Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. It's in there somewhere. Philippians chapter 2, a classical passage on humility. Classical, classic, very popular passage on humility. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3. Do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but instead, in contrast with humility of mind, proper thinking. With humility of mind, do what? Regard one another as more important than yourselves. That affects your actions. That's the application of humility, of thinking properly, of being humble. It's regarding one another as more important than yourselves. It's hard to think all puffed up, too highly of yourself. So when you're thinking and bringing others above you, more important than yourselves. Verse 4, do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others. Application of humility. Others are more important, not me. I'm going to look out for others' interests, the interest of others, not myself. And then Paul gives us the ultimate example, that of Christ. Verse 5, having this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. God Almighty, taking the form of a man. That's humility. It's a demonstration of humility. That's not a cocky, arrogant attitude, is it? That's thinking of you, people, and me, as more important than himself. Took on the form of a man, verse 8. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Jesus Christ, the ultimate example of the proper thinking, the proper attitude, of humility, his loving sacrifice on the cross. Not because he was all that. I mean, if anybody had a chance, a reason, a right to be a little bit cocky, a little bit arrogant. It would be, I don't know, God Almighty maybe. Humbled himself because he loved you. You were important enough for him to sacrifice positionally, stepping out of heaven, taking on the form of a man, the creation, the creator taking on the form of the creation, out of love for the creation, you specifically. That's humility. Willingly lying down on the cross. Man, a snap of a finger. He could have said, I know, Chip, it ain't worth it. I know, Rocky Hill Baptist Church, it ain't worth it. I'm not doing it. And he could call legions of angels to rescue him. Humbly, sacrificially, the proper attitude, gave his life for us. That's not thinking too highly of yourself, is it? Regarding others is more important. That's what Jesus did. Looking out for other people's interest, what Jesus did. Simply put, true humility is understanding who you are in relation to who God is. Back to our text in Romans chapter 12, verse 3. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think. Think humbly. But in contrast, to think so as to have sound judgment. Sound judgment. Literally, it's sober thinking. It's thinking with the right mind. You ever seen somebody outside their mind, out of their mind, trying to make decisions? You ever, maybe as a kid, made some beyond foolish decisions? Maybe as an example, your father would say to you, son, what are you doing? You stole my knife. You took a Matchbox Hot Wheel car and you tried to carve the metal roof off of that car with my knife. And you cut your thumb wide open. What are you thinking, son? You out of your mind? You ever heard that? I don't know, just as an example. Son, what are you doing trying to build a fire in your closet? What are you thinking, boy? You're outside your mind? Not thinking with sound judgment, whoever that kid may have been. Sober judgment. Man, it's beyond just foolish. It is dangerous. And when we get all puffed up and arrogant, prideful hearts, it's more dangerous than building a fire in your closet. Paul understand this. Paul understood this proper thinking. He understood who he was in Christ. He understood who God was and who he was and the difference. He understood the grace that God gave him. He had a proper perspective of himself and of God. That's why he could say what he did in 1 Timothy chapter 1. Let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1. Back to the right, past Corinthians. Get to Hebrews, you're going too far. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has strengthened me. Paul knew where his source of strength was. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who has strengthened me because he considered me faithful, putting me into service. Paul, you're on the team, man. Even though, verse 13, I was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor, yet, I was shown mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was more than abundant with the faith and love which are found in Christ Jesus. Paul knew who he was in Christ. verse 15. It is a trustworthy statement, deserving full acceptance. In other words, pay attention, Paul says, verse 15. That Christ Jesus came into the world to do what? To save sinners. That's why he humbly laid his life down. Christ came into the world to save sinners, get this, among whom I am foremost of all. That's a proper perspective Paul had. And do you realize at the time he wrote this, who he was? Look at verse 1 of 1 Timothy 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus. He's an apostle, handpicked by Christ himself, given the authority to grow the church. There's only 12 of these guys in the world. Paul was one of them. Okay, 13. He was an apostle. Talk about a big fish in a small pond. How about a big fish in a big pond? The apostle Paul. 3 missionary journeys he led. He's largely responsible for the salvation and the church growth of the Gentiles around the Mediterranean, Roman Empire. Almost wrote half the New Testament himself, 13 out of 27 books, penned by the hand of Paul. Have any reason to be a little arrogant? A little boastful? A little proud, maybe? I mean, could he just a little bit? Absolutely, he had every reason, and then some. But was he? Was he arrogant, prideful? Not a bit. He knew who he was in Christ, a sinner saved by grace. He was humble. He had the proper perspective of himself and God. So must we. To be effective in serving God, we must first start thinking properly about ourselves. Got to be humble, not too highly, not too puffed up, not too prideful, not too arrogant. We will not serve effectively if we do. You know, the flip side is true, too. Can't think too lowly of ourselves. If you have a proper perspective of who you are in Christ, you're not going to think too lowly of yourself. Poor me, some pessimistic Eeyore attitude. I can't do it. I don't know. I'm just not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not talented enough. I'm not tall enough. I'm not whatever enough. That's not humility either. In fact, that demeans everything that God's done for you. As a child of God, as a new creature in Christ, loved by the Creator, the sacrificial love of Christ, and we sit there and say, I'm not blank, I'm not whatever enough. God asks you to do something, He will equip you to do it. Humility is not thinking too lowly of ourselves either. Not thinking too highly, not thinking too lowly. It's proper perspective of who we are in Christ. Who am I in Christ? Man, I'm a sinner, saved by grace. I'm a saint, struggling to sin less and obey more. I'm a servant, living and holy, daily giving over myself to God, daily seeking to please God Almighty. Who am I in Christ? I'm God's possession, bought with the precious blood of Christ. I'm His. I can serve as He sees fit. Wherever He asks, I can go. Whatever He asks me to do, I can do it. I can be content in every circumstance. I can be light in every situation. I am God's. And God is transforming me. God is transforming us. He is the transformation agent. Spiritual transformation. Man, all I do is crawl up in the cocoon. I choose wisely on a daily basis. I commit to obey Him in every choice. And God does the transformation. Out comes a butterfly. He's the one that makes it happen. Man, the world looks down on humility. It's not a characteristic that you'll find highly regarded by the world today, is it? They perceive it as weakness and frailty. God sees it as strength and wisdom. Prideful self-interest, selfish ambition is the norm in this world, is expected from the world, in the world. Man, I remember in the engineering world, I've seen engineers fly across blueprints, whip out calculators just to be the first one with the right answer. In the business world, I've seen selfish men pounding on conference room tables, demanding their way, get what they want. Even in ministry, unfortunately, we've all seen puffed up ministers, missionaries, lay people. Prideful about their accomplishments, their ministries, their successes. People, God expects humility. If anybody could brag, it would be the Apostle Paul. God doesn't want us to do great things for Him. Do you hear me? God does not want us to do great things for Him. He wants us to do the little things daily. Greatly for Him. You hear me? He wants us to do the little things every day, day in and day out. He wants us to do things greatly for Him. That's obedience. That's humility. God doesn't need us. He's God. He has no needs. Man, so many times we just want to do great things for God, but we're failing at doing things greatly. Daily for Him. God expects humility. We're going to serve Him properly. We've got to think properly. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. More on humility. First Peter 5:5. You younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders. Good. Wise advice. And all of you, he's talking to all of you, all of us, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. Put on humility, clothe yourselves, cover up with humility toward one another. Why? For God is opposed to the proud. The proud are in opposition to God, not on His team. You're not going to get in the game. Opposition, not a team player, not a team member. God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble, equips. He gives us grace to be humble. He gives us grace while we're humble. Paul knew that. Through the grace given to me, I say to you, do not think too highly of yourselves. Humble yourselves, Paul says. Listen, this is not our church. Man, we may think it is, but this is not our church. This is not my ministry. This is God's church. This is God's ministry at His church. If we want Him to bless it, we need to do it His way. We need to serve Him His way. We need to be wise stewards with His church, His stuff, His people, His time. It is by God's grace that I'm here, and most of you know that. It's by God's grace that we're all here. It's by God's grace that we've been around. This church has been around 121 years. We need to keep making it His church. See what He does. We must serve Him humbly. All right, back to our text, Romans chapter 12, verse 3. We're almost done. Chapter 12, verse 3. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. The word there for faith, sometimes it's translated faithfulness. In fact, if you just flip over to Romans chapter 3 and verse 3, it's the same word we see in Romans 3, 3. Pistis is the Greek word. Verse 3 of Romans 3, what then if some did not believe, their unbelief will not nullify the faithfulness, pistis of God, will it? Faithfulness. Same word used in Romans 12, verse 3. This refers to God's expectation of faithfulness to us. God has given us faith, not saving faith here, but literally faithfulness in serving Him. Expectation that in our service to Him, we will be faithful. Through the grace given to us, we can faithfully serve Him. And faithfully having the proper thinking, the proper attitude, we can properly serve Him and do so effectively, consistently, without pride and selfishness getting in the way. Once we get our thinking straight, once we have this proper thinking, once we humble ourselves, then we're ready to talk about God's spiritual gifts He gives us. But that's next week. This week, let us focus on thinking properly, the way God wants us to. Changing the way we think about ourselves and others. Not too highly, not too lowly. Think humble. Be humble. Put others more important than yourselves. Obey God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for all that you do for us. Thank you for the example of Christ. Father, I pray that we will have that attitude in us. That we will obey you even to the point of death. That we will love you so much that we'll obey you this week no matter what you ask us to do. And when you ask us to do it, we'll be confident that you'll equip us. We'll think properly of ourselves, not too highly, not too lowly. Thank you for the example of Paul, Father, a man of God, a man you used greatly. But Father, let our ambitions not be selfish. Let our ambitions be holy, proper. Oh, let us roll our sleeves up and get to work. But let us do so with the proper thinking, the proper mindset. Let us do so in humility. For God, we want, when we serve you, we want you to be glorified, honored, and pleased with what we do. Thank you, Father, for not being done with us yet. Still working on us, still growing us. We look forward to seeing the results of your mighty hand at work in us and through us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.